Dedicated to Sandra.
The fingers of the drowned. The life of the hands of the drowned is longer than our history. Far away and so close, we see the drowned, see their longing for life and peace. Every day we see the tips of their fingers disappear into the ocean, but our eyes have not learned to see. Their fingers emerge from the ocean, stretch toward the sky. They are no longer wet. The fingers of the drowned are forever dried up. Falah al-Sufi, poet and Quetta refugee from Iraq. Prologue. A week before Assad's family left Sababar, his father took him to the Saturday market with its bustling throng of stalls with chickpeas, pomegranates, bulgur, brightly coloured spices and cackling poultry awaiting the axe. He laid his hands on Assad's slender shoulders and looked at him with deep, intelligent eyes.
"Listen well, my son," he said. "You will soon dream of what you experience today. And there will be many nights like those before the hope of reliving these sounds and smells dissipates. Take a good look around you while you can. Keep what you see in your heart, and you will never lose it completely. This is my advice to you, my son. Do you understand?"
Assad squeezed his father's hand and nodded as if he understood. But he never understood it. 1. Joan Aguader wasn't religious. Quite the opposite, in fact. He left town when the Easter processions with their black-robed Catholics invaded the Rambla, and he was also someone who collected irreverent statues of popes and the three wise men defecating. But despite this blasphemous tendency, he had nevertheless crossed himself numerous times over the last few days, because if God did exist after all, then he had to be absolutely sure to be in his good books due to the unfortunate turn things had taken. When the morning mail finally arrived with the long-awaited envelope, Joan crossed himself again because the contents would come to shape his destiny. He was sure of it. Now, 3 hours after reading the letter, he was sitting at a café in the Barceloneta district, shivering in the heat, devastated and devoid of his spark. For 33 years he had lived with the ridiculous hope that luck would favour him at some point or other. After this, however, he didn't have the energy to wait any longer. 8 years ago his father had tied an electric cable around his neck and hanged himself from a water pipe in the building where he worked as the administrator. His small family was devastated, and even though his father had never been a carefree man, they didn't understand why. From one second to the next, Joan and his sister, who was 5 years younger, were suddenly left alone with a mother who was never quite herself again. Joan tried his best to be there for them. Back then, he was just 25 and working himself to death, studying journalism and holding down numerous small jobs to try to make ends meet. But the following year was the final turning point in his life when his mother took an overdose of sleeping pills, followed by his sister a few days later. It was only now, in hindsight, that it made sense that he couldn't deal with anymore. Somewhere along the way, the Aguader family had slowly lost its perspective on life. Darkness had claimed them all. It would soon be his turn. So apart from short-lived moments of happiness and minor victories, it was a life of damnation. And in the space of just a month, his girlfriend had left him, and his career had been flushed down the toilet. Fuck it. Why torment yourself when everything was so meaningless? John put his hand in his pocket and glanced over at the waiter behind the bar. "Would it be too much to ask to end my life with an iota of self-respect intact and pay for my coffee?" he thought, staring at the dregs. But his pocket was empty, and the failed projects and ambitions of his life came back to him in an endless loop. All his bad relationships and constantly dwindling low standards had suddenly become too difficult to ignore. He had reached rock bottom. 2 years ago, when another deep depression